rescue those children who are in such precarious positions. Thank you so much for what you do. Pete and Charity, thank you guys. Where are you at? There they are. Thank you guys so much for all that you do in promoting the gospel and meeting needs and being that support to all those who are on the front lines and for being on the front lines with them. What a blessing it is to serve the Lord. Well, I'm sure excited to be here. My mama always said the ears can't hear more than the butt can stand. We want the Lord to speak. And we want to be attentive to what the Lord is saying to us. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I'm going to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 10. And I'll meet you there in just a moment. On Sunday morning, we talked about the need of a loving God. You remember the guy says, what is the greatest commandment? He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. And then he says, the second command is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he goes on to say, on these two laws hang all of the law and the prophets. And on Sunday morning, I talked about the fact that apart from the Holy Spirit living and abiding in us, we are bankrupt as far as love goes. We have our human love is bankrupt. We need the love of God to be shed abroad in our heart. And that happens when we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior and the Holy Spirit comes to live and abide in us. And as we are born again of the Spirit, we are filled with the love of God. In fact, it says the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart through the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. And then last night I shared with you that we are to use that love not for selfish gain or foolish pride, but we are to allow that love to flow from us without reservation. And that love is to flow first and foremost to all people. Because Christ first loved us, we also ought to love others. Amen? And then I concluded on the fact that not only do we love everyone, not only do we love those who don't love us, but we also love one another. And I reminded you that the final apologetic, the one thing that is going to get the attention of the world, the one thing that is going to cause them to stand up and take note and say they really are different, is our love. And not a love that loves when it's convenient, not a love that we love when it's good for us, but a love that is sacrificial, a love that costs. The agape love of God. Flowing between the brethren. That is the final apologetic. And folks, tonight I want to continue to talk about what it means to be a follower of Christ. We're at a mission conference, amen? And I want to build on what we have been doing. Yesterday and the day before, we really was talking about inward stuff. What God is doing in us. And today we're going to touch on that and then we're going to move on. Into saying, okay, now that God has done this work in me and this love work in me, what next? Amen? So if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 10. This is the longest message of the week. Oh, man. So you all bear, oh, I just got that look like, oh, no kidding. The Bible says, Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius.
And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." And when the angel who spoke to him departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, with beasts, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again a second time, "What the Lord has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Now they called, asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear from you, words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, it is our prayer that this word would bear witness, that it would burn deep into our hearts and into our minds. I pray, God, that you would give us insight, wisdom, and understanding. And Father, I pray even now that you would take my heart and my mind, take my lips and my tongue, and all that I am, I pray, Lord, use me as nothing more than broken bread and poured out wine on the altar of sacrifice, Lord, that your word may go forth in the Spirit's power, and Lord, that it may accomplish that for which you send it today. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, I'm going to start here, and you're going to wonder if I'm ever going to get to this scripture. Okay, we're going to get there. But I feel like we need to start by first understanding that our God, this God that we worship, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he has no beginning and he has no end. He is the great I Am, pre-existing eternal God. He is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, creator and sustainer of all things. He is life and light. He is infinite and so far beyond us that we cannot conceive his person. He is infinite in all things. The prophet Isaiah said it this way. He says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways," God's ways, "higher than your ways, and his thoughts higher than your thoughts." Amen. Yet to our amazement, this God that I just tried to describe in a few simple words has chosen to reveal Himself to us through the person of Jesus Christ. Now that's crazy. That the God who made all things wants to make Himself known to you and I. The Apostle John, he said it this way. John said, in the beginning was the Word. Amen? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Paul said this in Colossians. He said, in the Lord Jesus, in Him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Amen? Whew, that's good stuff. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, left the glory of heaven, and He came down and He walked among us. And here we are today, 2,000 years removed from those days when Jesus was walking upon the earth. Yet He is still now. To this very day, this Jesus is revealing Himself to us, His ways to us. That's incredible. And this process, folks, of spiritual growth, this process of getting to know this God is what we refer to as sanctification. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you were set apart unto God, the Bible says. You were sealed by the Holy Spirit. His mark was upon you, and you became His child. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 10 that He holds us there in the palm of His hand. He covers us, and no person can snatch us out. When we were born again of the Spirit of God, we became His child. We are His for eternity. Amen. It's an incredible thing that God has done. But He's not finished. In other words, God is still at work in us. This process that began so miraculously is continuing right now in each and every one of you. In other words, God's still working on me. Amen. God's still working on me. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. Amen, because God's still working on me. There's so much good truth in them kids' songs. Amen. He's still at work in each and every one of us. You know, you may recall years ago there was a song by Rich Mullins. We used to sing it all the time. It was called Step by Step. And some of the words in that song, as simple as they are, extremely profound. He says, oh God, You are my God. I will ever praise You. I will seek You in the morning. I will learn to walk in Your ways. And step by step, You lead me. And I will follow You all of my days. Our part in this work that God is doing in us, this thing that we call sanctification, continues on and on. It doesn't stop. At times, this process is joyful. Amen? I mean, at times, the whole process of God making Himself known to us and is a joyful thing. And when we receive a new revelation from God and we're studying the Scriptures, and all of a sudden we have I call one of them OIC moments, or a wow moment, where suddenly the Word becomes living. It's no longer words on a page. It jumps into your heart and into your mind, and it becomes a living reality in you. The Word becomes life to you. That's joyful, amen? And we always want to share that. Oh man, I got to tell, let me show you what God showed me. And of course, you show it to them, and the effect just isn't there. Amen. You're like, you don't get it. No, I get it. No, you don't get it. You know. But there's times when the process is really, it's a joy and it's life to us. It's a wonderful experience. But then there's other times in the process where it's very perplexing. Because God is infinite and because we are finite and we can't comprehend all that He is and all that He does and the way that He does it, sometimes we walk around shaking our heads. Most of the time I walk around shaking my head. I'm a bear of little brain, you know, and sometimes when God is trying to show me something, I'm like, God, make it plain. But God's ways are perplexing at times, and they're difficult to understand because God is so contrary to our human understanding. And our human wisdom is so lacking when it comes to this person. His ways are so different because I can tell him how to do it. If he would just ask, I've got this sorted out, God. But his ways are so perplexing. And at times this process of growth is somewhat frightening because it calls us out of our that spot that we're okay, that comfort zone that we all, you know, like to live and operate in, you know. To know Him more always takes that step. I was listening to Pete tonight, and I'm going, oh, man, yeah. Let's take another step, Pete, you know. That's how it is. It's difficult at times because He calls us to take steps of faith. And He doesn't bother explaining. We want to know the details. Especially ladies, you know. Ladies want details. Details. Men speak in headlines. Amen? Amen. Man goes to work. You come home at night. Honey says, what did you do today? I went to work. Is that all you got? Amen. Details. He doesn't give us the details. He doesn't explain it all to us. He calls us to take steps into places that are scary at times and unknown to us. And even sometimes it may even seem like those things that God is calling us to do are, listen to this, they are contrary to everything we ever knew about Him. You can't do that, God. That's not the way I understand you. Come on. Well, why don't you understand Him? Well, because we can't. We can't fully understand. And I believe here in Acts chapter 10, I told you guys are going to wonder if I ever got there. Amen. But here in Acts chapter 10, I believe God is giving us a look. He's giving us a look at this process playing out in Peter. And somewhat also even in Cornelius, the Roman centurion. Now, folks, we all know that God grows us. Amen. We are all in process. And I always tell the African pastors when we're over there doing conferences, says, listen, you're in a crisis or you're in a process that's going to lead to a crisis. Come on. Now listen to me. You're in a process that is going to lead to a crisis. And when you go through that crisis, just about the time you come out the other side, you're going to go through a process that leads to a crisis. Yes. Every one of those crises is designed to push us into God, to push us deeper into understanding who He is, that we might see Him possibly in a way that we never knew him before. You guys remember in the Old Testament, whenever God would do something incredible in the life of one of the prophets or one of the patriarchs, they would give God a new name. Amen? And they would give God a new name because they never knew him that way before. You see, names are very significant. They had meaning. After Abraham took Isaac up there and God took him out, or he took him out to the altar in obedience to the Lord to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, we all know the story that he's just about to slay his son in obedience to God. And what happens? God provides a ram. And what does Abraham call God? Jehovah Jireh, provider God. Now, I believe with all of my heart, folks, God is trying to grow us. And we know that God grows us through the Word. Amen? So sometimes, you know, the Bible says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Amen? So we know that God's Word is good. The Bible says it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof of correction, and then it's for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we know, folks, that God grows us through His Word. You guys are going to think I'm teaching Sunday school. You got to read your Bible. Yes, you got to read your Bible, because God speaks to us through His Word. Amen? That's what He's given us today. He's given us the Word. And I praise God for our missionaries who are out there translating the Word. I can't even comprehend what it would be like to read the Scriptures in your own language for the first time. It'd be incredible. So we know that God grows us through the Word. He also grows us through prayer. You remember the Sunday school answer? Prayer. Yeah, you got to pray. Why do we pray? Because prayer is spending time in the presence of God. It's not taking God your list and saying, God, I really need you to take care of some stuff today. I just happened to have my list with me. Right, it's right here. And we oftentimes that's what prayer becomes is we're just saying, hey God, I need you to do this, 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 and this. And folks, we're missing that prayer is an opportunity for us to be in fellowship with God, not just to give our list, but to spend time in His presence, to listen to what the Spirit might want to say to us. To take that word, maybe it's been that word that you've been meditating on, and suddenly you're there in the presence of God, and He brings understanding. He brings revelation. The Bible says that it's the Spirit that leads us into all truth, and suddenly that word that we've been meditating on in that moment of prayer, God brings it to life in us. Amen. And we have an OIC moment, and suddenly things begin to make sense. So God grows us as we spend time in fellowship with Him. He also grows us when we hear the preaching of the Word. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Incredible things happen. There's a dynamic that goes on through the preaching of the Word. I don't fully understand it, but there is power in the proclaimed Word. It grows us. It builds our faith. There's something about corporate worship. When we gather together and we worship and we praise and we lift our voices to God and we say, Lord God, You are worthy of honor and glory and praise. You alone. Folks, let me tell you something. All these things are ways that God grows us. But there's more. And that's what I'm here to talk about tonight. I say all these things tonight to say that there's much more. There's other things, other ways God grows us, that we might be vessels that can be used by Him. Jesus said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Are you ready? And they follow me. I've often thought about how cool it would have been to be one of the disciples think about how scary it would be. Jesus walked in scary places, in scary ways. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Do we believe it? Are we willing to apply what we know about God to our life? Do we take Him at His word and immediately take a step of faith and obedience? By the time we arrive at Acts chapter 10, we are tempted to think that this guy by the name of Peter has finally got it figured out. I mean, come on, right? You would think, I mean, by the time you get to the 10th chapter of Acts, remember, Peter had spent 3 years with Jesus. He had heard all the teachings, many of which are not recorded in Scripture. Amen. He was an eyewitness to miracle after miracle. I mean, there's times in the Bible where it says Jesus healed all their sicknesses and all their diseases. There's places where it says, and the multitudes came and He healed them all. All. He had experienced the depths of despair as he witnessed the horrifying crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had denied the Lord. Amen. So it wasn't just it was a deep pit, because he didn't just witness it with his eyes. He was the one who denied when he was asked. I don't even know the guy. But he'd also been restored. Amen. In John 21. Amen. He had experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He was the one who stood and explained to all the people who were coming and to see what was going on. He was the one who stood, hey, and he began to preach, and 3,000 people were saved. Through him, God had healed the lame man sitting at the gate of the temple. Peter even stood boldly against the Pharisees when they threatened him and told him to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Folks, when we think about the life of Peter, you would think, hey man, if one guy's finally got it together, if anybody has been through the ringer and should have come out the other side and got this thing sorted out, surely it's Peter. He had to be the guy. But we see here in Acts chapter 10, Peter still had a lot to learn. And so do we. We got a lot to learn. In fact, I had a conversation with somebody the other day. I don't remember who it was. I was sitting up here and I said, yeah, you know, I've been walking this journey for several years now. I think Michelle and I are about 30 years into this walk. And I said, I think I might be in the fourth grade. Might be in the fourth grade. And I'm not saying, I mean that. Because our God is infinite. And you see, no matter how much we know about God, and no matter how long we've been a believer, or how much understanding we have of His ways, there is still an infinite amount yet to know and understand. And this knowledge, it isn't given all at once. It's a process. It's given over time. As we step by step walk in obedience to Him. The Bible says Peter was on the roof praying when he fell into a trance, and saw the sheet come down with from heaven, all the clean, unclean, all the unclean animals on it. And he heard the voice say, Peter, kill and eat. Now, this is a big deal. He's a Jewish boy. There's dietary restrictions. Amen. I've never eaten anything unclean. I don't touch those things. He couldn't partake of that. But the Bible says, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Rise, go down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Three times the sheet comes down. He shows it to Peter, all these unclean animals, and he says, kill and eat. And Peter's like, what are you talking about, God? From the time I was a little bitty boy, I have been taught that there are things that are clean and there are things that are unclean. You can eat the clean. You don't touch the unclean. If you do, you can't even go worship. This is a big deal, folks. He was thinking about what it meant. Why God was showing him this strange and somewhat perplexing vision when the Spirit spoke. By this time, I believe that Peter had learned some things. He had witnessed some things. He had some understanding. But this is big. God, what are you doing? What are you doing, God? God is calling him to go to the house of a Gentile. And not just a Gentile, a Roman centurion Gentile. Big deal. Because so let me tell you something. It was one thing for a Jew to enter for a Gentile to enter a Jew's house. It was somewhat acceptable for a Jew to have a Gentile in their house. But for a Jew to go into a Gentile's house and to eat with them and to have fellowship with them, to sit at a table under their roof, to enter in, it was major. It was off the charts. It's completely out of the question. Jesus is calling Peter to follow him, to go where he would go. See, that's what Jesus did. He was always doing those things that just didn't fit. It broke the mold. It messed up everybody. And that's the thing that made the Pharisees so angry. It wasn't that he was out there healing the sick and giving sight to blind. It was the fact that he was messing up the traditions. He was messing with the way they always understood that God worked and this is how he is and this is what he's not. Jesus was always letting God out of the box. And they were offended by it, and they were upset, and they wanted to get rid of him. He says, go with them. Peter, the Spirit said, I want you to go with them. I sent them. It was that vision. It was the words of the Spirit spoke that what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Three times he hears it. I'm sharing this message today. Listen, folks, I'm sharing this message because, well, it's a mission conference, okay? Okay, it's a mission conference. But I want you to understand something. If you are going to go on with God, you cannot stay where you are. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm not saying you have to go to Mozambique or Zimbabwe, or I'm not saying you have to leave the country, but what I'm saying is you cannot stay. You You've got to grow. And you've got to receive what the Holy Spirit reveals to you about God through His Word and through experience. And you've got to let Him be God. You must be willing to walk in His will and in His ways, even when you don't fully understand it. Because you can't. And if you continue to make excuses and ask for more clarity and give you another reason, or I got to have another confirmation, listen, folks, you're not going to get there. Amen. You're just not going to get there. You know, God didn't say, now listen, when He said, I'm calling you to obey me. To obey God means that I trust Him to the uttermost. I don't trust what I know about Him. Come on. I trust Him. He who called me is faithful. It's not about me trying to get it all sorted out in my mind. It is the fact that this God who in whom has died on the cross for my sins, who rose again on the third day, and in whom I have salvation, in Him, I believe. I believe His Word is true. I believe that He has good intentions for me and that He wants to use me to fulfill His purposes on this earth. And I don't bring anything to the table except a body. Come on. Now what this does is it gets all my excuses out of the way.
Right.
Because He is faithful and I'm nothing. The Lord our God is one. Amen?
Amen.
I love, my friend Lee Thomas always says this. It always goes to my mind. You know what God is looking for? God's looking for a whole bunch of zeros. Yeah, because one and one zero, one and one zero is 10. One and two zeros, come on, do the math, amen. One and three zeros, that's right. So God doesn't, so in other words, what I'm saying is get this whole idea that you have to be something out of it. You have to be obedient to the one who called you. And when you are obedient to the one who called you, then you and God are mighty. Amen? So it's not about us. God is wanting to work through us. I think, look in the Old Testament. Every person that you read about that was obedient did great things. Abraham obeyed God. Amen? And out of his seed became the father of a great nation because he believed God. Now, I know it got a little squirrely there in the middle. Amen? I'm not going to say that. Nobody gives God a perfect performance, and that's the wonderful thing. Amen? He's not calling for a perfect performance. He's calling for people who are good repenters and are willing to follow. So God worked through Abraham's obedience and became a great nation. Look at Joshua. You know, he worked through Joshua to bring down the walls of Jericho because he was obedient. Hey guys, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out and march around the city 7 times. On the last day, we're going to blow the trumpet. Everybody's going to worship and the walls are going to come down. Makes perfect sense to me. Let's go, Joshua. Are you kidding me? Amen? But he didn't worry about anything. He said, I'm going to do what God says because he who promised is faithful. It's not about me. It's about me walking in obedience to him. God bless Joshua. I look at Queen Esther. Queen Esther heard the word, you know, and here she is up there in the situation where, hey, if I go before the king, this may not turn out well for me. You all better pray. And she was willing to put her life on the line that her people might be saved, and they were. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know. I mean, I'm not going to bow down to that thing. I'm not going to worship this image that you've set up. What happened? Nebuchadnezzar says, there ain't no God like that. I never seen anything like that. How many did we throw in that fire? So we threw in three. Well, there's four in there now. One of them looks like a son of God. Amen. Through every person who was obedient, God did great things. But then you got to remember people like King Saul. King Saul couldn't wait for Samuel to offer the sacrifice. He had to offer it. And then he went out, and instead of utterly destroying the Amalekites, he brought back King Agag and all the spoils because, you know, we're going to sacrifice those to the Lord. He had that justified with, amen. It didn't work out very well. It cost him the kingdom. In obedience, Peter left Joppa. He saw the vision. He was confused. Does that sound familiar? Now, come on. God calls us. What's the first thing we do? I don't know what the heck he's trying to do now. I don't know. I could tell story after story of this in our life. What's he doing now? I don't know. Peter went to Caesarea. He gets to Caesarea. Cornelius is there to greet him. Oh, Peter. He starts to bow down and worship Peter. He's like, whoa, Peter. Peter says, don't be worshiping me. Get up. I'm just a man. And he walks in and he sees all his family. And not just family, but all the friends. And he says, I invited everybody over. They're all here. Peter, we were told that you got something to say. Amen. I mean, the whole thing is just like crazy. And then Peter preaches Jesus Christ and Him crucified, raising from the dead, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't even get finished. He doesn't even get through. They don't even wait for him to finish the sermon. I wish that would happen here sometime. I mean, like, everybody just getting all filled with the Spirit, like, oh, we're going to hit the altar now. I ain't worried about it. Preacher, shut up. We got stuff, you know. But he didn't even finish the sermon. And the Holy Spirit fell. And here's this Jewish boy who all his life had been brought up in all the structure and all the formality and all of the traditions and all the laws of how God works and the way He does this and the way He does that. And in a moment, God just blows it all out of water. Just like that. And what does he say? I think we need to have a baptismal service. Amen. I think we need to have a baptismal service because it's obvious to me that the Holy Spirit has fallen on all these folks just like it did on us. Isn't that incredible? Now, folks, here's what I want you to understand. God wants to use every single one of us. Amen. Every one of us. Now, we all have this idea of what it ought to be. You know, we always think of great things. We want it to be big. We want it to be exciting. We want to be able to share with other people, and other people are like, oh, wow, look at what God's doing. Oh, listen. God wants to work through every one of us. But he's waiting for something. He's waiting for you to believe him. To believe him. And to take him at his word. And obey. It's just obedience. It's obedience to that still small voice that's speaking to you right now. It's saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I hear you. And I will go where you send me, and I will do what you call me to do. I will recklessly abandon myself that you might accomplish your purposes through my life. Can I ask you guys a question? How many of you all have prayed for God to use you? Some of you don't even want to be used.
No, I'm kidding.
I don't think there is a born-again believer who at some time in their life hasn't prayed, Lord God, use me. Use me. Don't let me be wasted. Give me a part in your kingdom's work, God. Send me on mission. And all the while, I believe God is speaking to you and asking you to take the smallest step. Just the smallest step. To tell your coworker about God's love for him or her. To tell someone that you go to school with about your relationship with God and how God wants to be in relationship with them. Tell a family member, a student. Folks, sometimes we are guilty of looking for the great things. We want it to be the big things. And God is saying, will you just be faithful in the little things? And then I'll show you great things. Then I'll grow you. To walk in obedience in the everyday, in what we call the ordinary, God wants to grow us there. He wants to show Himself strong there so that we might know Him and be used by Him. Folks, the bottom line is we got to start from where we are. We can't go over there and start. We got to start here, right where I am, in my circle of influence, with my neighbor, amen, with those God brings to my life. I can't start over there. I have to start here where I am, where He has placed me right now, and let Him use me. Folks, God is up to something. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes this. Now, I want you to understand, Paul is writing this from prison. Amen? This is what we refer to as a prison epistle. And this is what he says. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended. Did you hear that? This is the Apostle Paul. He's saying, I'm not there yet. Amen? He said, I don't consider myself as apprehended. I love that. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, are you getting this? Here we go. Therefore, let as many as are mature have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Did you hear that? To the degree that we have already attained. What does that say? That means you start right where you are. right where you are as a missionary, an ambassador, a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right where you are. And see what God reveals. I believe with all of my heart that the key to understanding God is obedience.
Amen.
Obedience. He blesses the obedience with the knowledge of Him. You want to know God? That's what we started. This whole thing started tonight. About this God who is infinite. Amen? A God who is pre-existing, eternal, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, without... You can't define Him. And this God wants to make Himself known to each and every one of you. And the only way you're going to get to know Him in that intimate way is by walking in obedience to Him. And as you walk, He will make Himself known to you. And you're going to have OIC moment after OIC moment after OIC moment. Because He's going to become a reality in your life. A reality. Heavenly Father, we bow before You tonight, acknowledging that apart from You, we are nothing. We acknowledge that we bring nothing to the table. We acknowledge that we are needy creatures before a just and a holy God. But Lord, we present ourselves to You. We say to You tonight, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Use me. Lord Jesus, forgive us tonight, Lord, where we have made excuses, where we have cowered down in our flesh in unbelief and fear. Lord, give us the courage of Joshua and Caleb. Give us the strength of David to stand before the giants. Give us the obedience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to say we will not bow down. And give us the passion of Isaiah, who said, here I am, Lord, send me. And give us the love of John. The love of John, Lord, that led him to the Isle of Patmos, God. Oh, God, give us the love of John. And the compassion and the grace of the Lord Jesus. Praise You, Lord, for what You're doing in our hearts tonight. There's some people here right now that are struggling because you know that God has put His finger on a certain thing in your life that He wants you to believe Him for. He's saying, believe Me. Believe Me. Ooh. There's others here tonight who God is asking you to let go of something in your life. And it's a major step to let it go because it's that thing that you have drawn life from. And it's robbing you. And He's asking you to let it go and believe Him. That He can fulfill that spot in your life. There's others here tonight who are still trying to seek the approval of men Bible says it leads to fear, and the fear of man is a snare. Won't you let Jesus have His way in your life? Won't you commit to Him that thing that He's put His finger on time and time again? Won't you follow Him? We're going to open up the altar tonight. I know the hour is late.